The following is for information purposes only and does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of News Radio 680 WPTF and the Curtis Media Group.
Making Your Home Great on WPTF features experts in their field, actually in the studio, but in their field, and Chris Massey is our plumber. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good. How are you doing today, Dave?
Good. He's from C. Massey Plumbing. Website is what?
cmasseyplumbing.com.
Well, that's good.
Yep. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram.
Do you do, like, videos?
We're getting ready to start here in the near future. We haven't yet.
I've seen so many people in that space, not plumbing, but in home repair and remodeling, et cetera. And they've all got video podcasts. I don't know people who've got that much time to watch all these, but it's a fun activity, and I think it's worthwhile. People will listen at least watch for just a few minutes anyway.
It's a good way to get known and get yourself out there.
You know, definitely. And like this show, you can't fake it when the camera's on you.
That's right.
If you're a terrible person, people know it. I could mention some people on the TV now who are just know they're terrible people.
Yep.
I suspected Papa John was a tough guy to work for. Remember Papa John?
Yeah, I do.
He no longer fronts his company, but man, he just looked like every boss who was tough on me. Are you a tough boss?
I don't think so. I'd prefer to think of myself as a good coach.
Good coach. Okay. Got a bunch of people going out and doing jobs. The young people, the people who've just gotten to your company, they're not alone, are they?
They're not at all. We always pair folks up with, you know, other plumbers and try to put them through as good as a onboarding as we can.
Right. There are simple jobs and there are complex jobs. What's a simple job for you in terms of a call?
Rebuilding toilets.
Rebuilding a toilet. I was, I don't want to tell you what I was doing, but I was taking a good darn look at my toilet this morning. And these things are built. Of course, they're ceramic, but it looks like it should never wear out. I mean, the inner workings could go badly, but these things are built like tanks.
The actual toilets are, you know, they're made out of porcelain.
You know,
very rare does the toilet itself actually fail.
Yeah.
You know, most of the time it's just the parts in it.
All right. Let's talk about what we promised to talk about, which was home inspections. Do you help people out in that area at all?
We do as far as home plumbing inspections.
Yeah.
We don't look at roofs. That's, of course, Holly space or
– yes.
You know, moisture in crawl spaces, that's Brock space. But if we do notice moisture issues or something going on, we do, you know, highly recommend them give Brock a call.
Yeah, there's a lot of overlap there.
There is.
Between you and Brock. You know, the only contractors we have on the air who are crawling underneath houses.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a home is one of your biggest investments for most folks, right?
Yeah.
You invest in your car to drive around and you invest in your home. You know, you get your car serviced every 3,000 miles.
Yeah.
Right? You know, why not look after the biggest investment that you have, which is your home?
Yeah, I have to go to the doctor every 6, 8, 10 months. Otherwise, they miss me. And they keep sending me texts. They say, Mr. Alexander, yeah, haven't had your annual blood test and, you know, your checkup.
Time for a physical.
And you would give a physical to the plumbing in your house.
Exactly.
In the house.
Yep.
Now, what would you look for and what things would you do?
Well, you know, one of the most important pieces, and we've touched on it in previous shows, is, you know, checking the functionality of your water main shutoff valves for your house.
Yeah.
Or making sure that you've got one inside your house in the closet. You know, we've been installing a lot for folks over the years. I mean, over the last month or so, especially... Yeah. Older houses, you know, that the valves were put in years ago under the crawl space.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people don't go under the crawl spaces.
Right.
You know, so we usually suggest if they don't have one inside, you know, coming in, evaluating, seeing where the best place and the easiest location for somebody to be able to access it is and install one.
I knew where the cutoff was in my old house. I have no clue now. No clue. I mean, I've looked at, like, closets next to the bathroom. Often that's where it is.
A lot of times, sometimes in the pantry, but a lot of most cases in a coat closet.
In a coat closet. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll look. And it's nothing special. It looks like the cutoff or the hose access.
Very simple.
Right.
It's got a handle on it. So we put quarter turn ball valves in.
Quarter turn ball valves. You need to turn it just one quarter?
Half of a turn. Yep.
One half of a turn.
Wait, yep.
Okay.
Or one quarter of a turn.
One quarter. Oh, yeah. Well, that makes sense. What else are you looking at?
And they last pretty long, too, you know, because, you know, in an emergency situation, you want to be able to get it turned off. You know, we check your toilets and the functionality of your water closets and make sure, you know, all the innard workings are like they're supposed to be.
Right.
You know, we find a lot of tanks that have these Clorox tablets in them. You know, people put that in the water, and it makes it. It makes your water closet smell better.
Oh, yeah.
Helps keep it clean just a little bit, but it's terrible on the gaskets to go inside of it.
And really?
It just makes it not have as long a lifespan.
It takes away the lifespan of the toilet.
It just helps deteriorate the gaskets and rubber gaskets and stuff that seal your tank to the bowl.
It's the Clorox that does this.
I guess it's the chemicals that they put in it for cleaning purposes, I believe.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. What else in the house?
We check for that. Yeah. We check your, you know, every fixture has shutoff valves below them. You know, your toilets, your sinks, your lavatories under the bottom of them. You know, we check the functionality of those shutoff valves because, you know, if you have a problem with a faucet, you know, just for instance, we had a fella call this past week and his shower. Tub shower, they turned it on to take a bath and it wouldn't turn back off. It failed.
Okay.
You know, so it had to shut the water off to the whole house until we could get there. Luckily, they knew where their valve was.
Would there have been an individual valve
somewhere? A lot of times, not on bathtubs and showers, but, you know, on your lavatory faucets, because we've had the same issues with lavatory faucets before.
And they're right there at the floor.
Usually right under your cabinet, yep.
Right. And at the same time, these are multiple objects and areas we never touch. I've never had a reason to turn that.
That's right.
So in 4 years, that thing has never been twisted. And that means it could easily not be functional.
Chances are when you need to use it the most. Exactly, like you said.
It could come off in your hand or, you know, or just not turn.
That's right.
Because of hard water and
calcium. Or you may be able to get it shut off and it not shut back on.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so we check the functionality of all of those. And, of course, if we find some that need to be replaced, you know, and if we get on annual maintenance contracts or whatever and we come out once or twice a year, those are things that we, you know, We check and turn them and operate them and make sure that they are functional.
I've got water to the dryer, believe it or not, that misting function. And I've got water, of course, to the washer.
Uh-huh.
That's again, some possible failure points.
It is, especially in older houses. You know, now we use quarter-turn valves on everything. Stops under your sinks, on your washing machine for your hot and your cold. You know, because earlier days they had what they call a gate valve that you have to turn it multiple times to get it to stop.
Right.
And they got gaskets on the bottom of them that will dry rot and fail. Or, you know, when was the last time you turned off the valve to your hot and cold for your washing machine box?
I've never. Ever. I think it was off when they installed the machines. I'm pretty sure it was off when they turned on the machines. But
we check all that.
That's
it. You know, we check the drains. You know, we'll run the washing machine through a little rinse cycle if we need to, just to make sure it's draining and functioning like it ought to. You know, it's good. It takes us a little longer on the first inspection because we want to get to know your house. That way we understand how all the plumbing works in there.
Yeah.
You know, we take pictures. We take notes. We load it into your customer file so that each time we go out, we know exactly what we're looking at Dave's house.
If people look underneath the house and they shine a flashlight and they see that there's water coming off a pipe, could it just be condensation?
It could be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had a call here several weeks ago where we went under somebody's house. They had seen a lot of moisture and some puddling water
right
under the crawl space. And we got out there and got to looking, and it was a very bad moisture issue under there. The heat and air ducts were sweating.
Right.
And that happens quite a bit, too, especially with this North Carolina humidity on a hot day.
Sure.
And you're running your air conditioning all day. It causes condensation.
Okay. And it can be normal, or it's a call to Brock.
Exactly.
And radiant barrier. I cannot forget that, please. Triangle radiant candles. No, barrier. Triangle radiant barrier. He's going to come up in about 10 minutes and hit me on the back of the head. So sorry, Brock. All right, we're going to pick more up on this in just a little bit. We're talking with Chris Massey of C. Massey Plumbing on Making Your Home Great on WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
All right, I've just been handed a list of things that can fail in your home. We're with Chris Massey of C. Massey Plumbing. And there's something about a nose bib. Hose. I have to learn what a... Wait a minute.
Hose bib.
A hose... Oh, sorry. I'm so glad I read it wrong because I didn't... It's a hose bib, and where is that?
A lot of people call them water spigots. It's on the outside of your house.
Yeah, it's just
that you hook your water hose up to water your lawn, water your flowers, water your dogs,
yeah,
chickens.
Okay,
pigs.
That's just the plumbing fixture outside for your hose. Hose bib.
We call them hose bibs.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
Well, we do.
Yeah, he said sprocket, not socket. The point is, you're checking all these things when you are somebody is signed up for your what annual plan.
You do, and you can just call in just to get an inspection as well.
And I want to ensure people, this is hundreds, not thousands. You're not spending. Spending thousands of dollars.
No, not at all.
On
not
any
all.
Of this.
And you know, follow us on Facebook and keep an eye on our website too, because.
Yeah.
And Instagram, because we're getting ready to start running some specials on home inspections.
That's good.
For Labor Day specials.
And if you think about selling your house and you want to give the buyer extra peace of mind, you could absolutely get inspections from two or three people around this show, including Chris Massey.
That's right. I mean, how important is it? If you're going to buy, think about it as purchasing a used car.
Yeah.
Right? If you're going to buy a used car, you're going to get one that's got documentation where it's been serviced?
Yes.
Or are you going to buy one that doesn't have any documentation? You
yeah.
know, how great would it be and easier for you to sell your house to show documentation, you know, where you've had us out year after year for 2 to 10 years every year to do
yeah.
full, thorough plumbing inspection of your house just to keep everything working good.
Right.
You know, we provide video camera inspections for you know, sewer mains, too. You know, we done one last week and found some roots in some folks' line. They hadn't had any problems yet, but it looked right. like drapes hanging down inside the pipe.
Yeah. What's the fix for that?
The true fix is, you know, we can locate it, find out where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we have to dig it up and fix it and repair it.
You're going to dig up the hose.
Dig up the sewer main in the yard
sewer,
and
yeah,
actually replace
yeah.
a section of it where it's got a crack or hole in it. Now, we can service it. We do have some folks that had rather us not dig up their front yard.
Sure.
So we go out a couple times a year because we've got hydro jet equipment, which is for sewer cleaning.
Yeah.
And we can clean those roots out and flush a chemical down the drain that – you know, that kills those roots right after we've done it or helps prolong before they grow back.
Right.
I mean, eventually it's a crack in your pipe. It's going to grow back eventually.
It could be the neighbor's oak tree.
It very well could
be. And you really can't remediate that issue without you know, talking to your neighbor about his big tree.
Right, because you think about a big oak tree.
Yep.
Their root ball is the size of the canopy of the tree.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Which trees?
A lot of your oak trees.
Yeah.
Hardwood oak trees that grow, got great big canopies
yes.
that grow out. So the root balls are as wide as the canopy of the tree. That's why when you see hurricanes and things come through, those trees fall over and it just takes up a huge piece of the ground.
It does, yeah.
Yep.
I hope nobody was like that. Nobody had that happen at the beach. But honestly, they don't have any trees at the beach. We got some palm trees.
Yeah, thank goodness Hurricane Aaron stayed off the coast a little ways.
That's
I know
exactly
it caused
right.
a little bit of damage, but it could have been a whole lot worse.
And a lot of those homes were up on stilts mm-hmm. to begin with.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I hope nobody's digging out this Saturday. We're talking with Chris Massey of C. Massey Plumbing. And let me ask you about initial installation of pipes, maybe in the 1970s. What did they use in the 70s?
Back in the 70s, they used a lot of copper piping.
Oh, yeah.
Copper piping. And then, you know, I'd say maybe late 70s, early 80s is when they transitioned over to the polybutylene, which is the gray piping that you see and you hear talk about all the time.
Yeah, and it is gray. Now, the other things that could appear to be this that's also gray. Am I correct? Is there anything else that looks like that gray pipe?
It's a pretty distinctive
oh, it is.
Color
okay.
with that polybutylene.
And polybutylene, was it a good idea to put it into our houses?
It was the waterline to have back in those days because yeah. it took the price of copper. It was a little bit cheaper.
Yep.
You know, and it took a few years before they started having issues with it. You know, they had the class action lawsuits years ago.
Right.
With it, you know, I don't think they're not available anymore, but they did years ago. You know, we've got a house coming up later this week that we're going to repipe. It's got a bunch of old polybutylene. You know, some of it still works pretty good,
yeah.
and people don't have problems. You know, we recommend, you know, after you start, usually once you start having an issue, it's usually going to be a recurring issue.
Right. Okay. And was it with the plastic itself?
I've seen it go both ways. I've seen it be part of the fittings.
Yeah.
And I've seen it be part of the pipe, too. You know, and it all depends on your water quality. You know, so part of a home inspection, too, you know, we can do a water test and see what kind of quality of water you have, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they put chlorine in city water. They put, you know, fluorides, whatever they put in it to keep it clean and keep the water you know,
yeah.
in good shape as they can for us to drink or take baths and stuff in. But some of those water piping years ago, they deteriorate
yeah.
from the chlorine and the chemicals and stuff that's in the water.
Now, we don't want to scare people because there's another plastic type fitting and piping that is just fine. What are we using now?
We put a lot of PEX piping in now. And they do have some brass fitting still that's used, but a lot of times we use a fitting that looks a lot like plastic, but it's more of a poly nylon
yeah.
type of fitting that's, you know, has so far, you know, we hadn't had any serious issues with it at all. It holds up.
Yeah.
You know, it can withstand, you know, I have seen some of it freeze in the wintertime and
yes.
expand and contract and go right back down and not cause a problem. You know, and I have seen it freeze and bust at the same time. It just depends on how bad of a freeze we have.
And I'm going to apologize, Brock, if you were listening on the way in. I completely forgot your company name. I don't know why or how.
It's Triangle something or other.
Triangle Radiant Candle.
That's
is
right.
Is what I thought it was. It apparently it's Radiant Barrier.
It is. That's correct.
Okay. It's okay. We have nose bibs on the side of our house too.
You see this? He typed out something, or his wife typed out something for me, and it's only a 19-point font. I need 23-point font, really big.
We'll make it a little bit bigger for you next time.
Need to get him his reading goggles.
Yeah, give me my reading goggles. All right, we've got a phone call. Skip from Raleigh's going to hang on during our news. We are with Chris Massey of C. Massey Plumbing, right?
Yes, sir.
C. Massey Plumbing. He's on the radio on Making Your Home Great.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Remember, if you missed any of the portions of today's show, we archive all of our shows as podcasts available wherever you get your podcasts and on demand always at WPTF.com. Now back to our host, Dave Alexander.
With Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier and Chris Massey of C. Massey Plumbing, and we're talking plumbing. And if we want to talk about crawling in the crawl space and taking a look at, you know, at the plumbing fixtures down there, and you just said that occasionally you find heavily dripping water pipes and other things underneath the house.
Air conditioned ducts too. Brock can probably.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily a leak in the plumbing.
Sometimes it's a leak in the plumbing. Sometimes it's a heavy saturation, a condensation, because they just have a major relative humidity problem down there. But it's just tracking the source. And that's a problem with water. Water is not fun to try to track where it's coming from, especially when you're in a gross, damp, dark crawl space and there's a little there's a little puddle over here 3 feet to the left, but it's coming from 4 feet to the right.
Yeah.
So you're trying to track these issues. Now, I will admit we have run into quite a bit of plumbing leaks this year in crawl spaces. Now, it was earlier on in the season, January, February, earlier this year. Mm-hmm. But we were running a lot into those little connectors that had started to leak. I think you even had we sent you over a customer, and you guys went out there, and he just wanted you to replace the leaking connectors, the ones that were leaking.
Yep.
And I think you guys recommended, hey, if these things are leaking, there's a good chance the rest of these are going to have a problem in a short period of time. And what was it? It was like three or four weeks later,
he called back. We ended up replacing probably 15 or 20 fittings under his house.
Because two of them were leaking in the time that they replaced those fittings.
Yeah.
The time I went out and did the final inspection, there were new ones leaking.
Right.
And I pointed them out, and he was like, oh, man, they told me I should probably get these replaced. All right, I'll go ahead and give Chris back.
And that's one thing we do, too, when we go out. We're not just going out to fix that one leak under there. We're going to look at everything while we're under there.
And at least give you the option, and you did. Exactly. You gave him the option. He told him, look, we need to replace these, but they're not leaking right now, so, you know, it's up to you. The homeowner said, no, let's wait. Got him another 3 weeks, and then he had to get them all replaced anyway. But it's giving the customer the option.
And unscrupulous people could do unscrupulous things, but Chris is absolutely scrupulous.
He is.
He is a very honest guy. He's not shaking everything to make it fail. He didn't want it to fail.
We're looking and seeing if there's a possibility something's going to fail so we can let you know.
As I've said before, there are millions of homes in the area, and nearly all of them have hot water and cold water. You know, nearly all of them.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I'm just saying. And there's a lot of work. You'd rather do legitimate work. Are there any door knockers in your business? Nobody can knock on the door and say, listen, I detected a leak in your house. You don't have that.
I was out here reading your meter and determined you're leaking something.
Or I have had folks selling people repipes before. I don't know the name of it. It was just the customer showed me something one time.
Yeah.
And it was some pictures of some very badly corroded fittings on some water lines, and it wasn't even their crawl space. It wasn't even their house.
look what we found down there.
What?
I don't have a water softener.
They were like, you know, I want you to come look and see if you can find these fittings in our house. I'd like for you to replace them.
This isn't the same house.
You know,
when
we get under there, and I'm like, there's nothing under here that looks like this.
That's terrible.
It is. It's so disappointing. To guys like us, it brings down the industry. It brings down what people, whether or not people, people don't trust contractors. It's just they don't trust attorneys in most cases, right? There's unfortunately auto mechanics. There's industries where people have a lot of trust issues. And unfortunately, it's because of stuff like that. It's because you get these people who are very dishonest and are willing to take advantage of you to make money. And right. that's just, it's disconcerting. But it also makes it easy for us to succeed in the industry when we're not like that.
It right. does.
Throws us to the head of the pack.
Skip from Raleigh is on the air. Skip, I'm going to offer you an apology. I never leave anybody on the phone 11 minutes.
Dave.
I did that. He was on hold. Hey, Skip, what's going on?
Hey, listen, could I talk to Scrupulous if I knew how to pronounce that word?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And what it even meant?
Right.
Hey, first of all, just a quick word to Chris. Thank you for what you and your guys do. I've got a bunch of degrees, but when the pipe leaks, all I can do is roll those diplomas around and hope it slows the leak.
So, right.
thank you.
Yes,
so,
sir.
So I've checked the water pressure in my home with an outside with a gauge on one of the outside faucets, and it's about 55 psi, which seems great. But in the kitchen sink, it doesn't seem like the water comes out that robustly. The house is 44 years old. The only plumbing piping we've replaced is a few years ago we put in a circulating loop because the house is 80 plus feet long and the water heater is in the garage. And so the loop makes sure I don't have to wait for 3 days to get water to the bathroom.
Great decision, because it saves you lots of money on your utilities on the back end.
More importantly, it saves the marriage.
Exactly.
So,
that's right.
But should I worry that I can't test the water pressure at the sink faucet, but it just doesn't seem like it's as robust as the outside spigot.
Right. What about everywhere else in your house? Master bathroom or your powder room?
Those all seem great.
They all seem good. So it's probably isolated just to the kitchen sink. It could be an issue with a shutoff valve underneath your sink. It could be an issue with the faucet. It could just be the aerator, the screen inside the head of your faucet that needs to be cleaned out.
That's what I was thinking. I was wondering if there could be some sort of clog in that specific sink that's causing the water pressure
right,
to be a little bit less.
That's right, because if it was a pressure-reducing valve issue or a water pressure issue, it'd be through the whole entire
throughout.
House.
Throughout, okay.
So it almost isolates it down to the kitchen sink.
And it's got to be what?
And does the pressure at the outside spigots, are they on the other side of the pressure-reducing valve? So if the valve were an issue, those spigots wouldn't have good pressure either, or do they tap off before the pressure-reducing valve?
A lot of times, in some situations, we do install water spigots or hose bibs on the front of your house before the pressure-reducing valve to help with better water pressure, and then usually the other ones are behind the pressure-reducing valve.
Yeah.
So that's something we could definitely come check out for you. We've got some Labor Day specials coming up here probably the 1st of September.
We're already getting to Labor Day.
We'd be happy. We'd be happy to come out and do a little inspection for you. Get in touch with us?
I do. I've got your website and all that good stuff. Thank you so
Fantastic.
Much. It sounds scrupulous to me.
Thank you for calling in, Skip.
And I apologize. Bye. I feel badly for you with the in-robust water in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, if you want to give our office a call sometime this week or whatnot, just mention that you spoke with us on the radio station and we'll take extra care of you. How about that?
Well, you know, the Triangle Radiant Barrier folks did that, and I almost feel bad paying my Duke Energy bill in this hot weather because it's all, you know, it's petty cash after they did their work.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to hear that. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Well, thank you, guys. Have a great rest of the day.
Have a good one.
All right, thank you, Skip. Very quickly, just describe that Duke Energy thing.
Yeah.
The rebate.
Yeah.
It's not really a rebate. It's more of money.
It's a Visa check card. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's cash. They're just sending you over cash to insulate your home. And yeah, it's exploded.
Yeah.
We're you know, Chris and I were talking about it during the break, but a lot of people are taking advantage of the Duke rebate program right now. They're getting the insulation done. They're getting a good portion of the original contract paid back to them.
Yes.
So it's just a great opportunity to take advantage. And all the customers that we have are immediately seeing massive reductions in utility costs. So
right.
You're not only getting money back, but we're going to make your bills cheaper every month moving forward. It's a no-brainer.
It's an extraordinary program.
It sure is.
The guy on Verizon and the other people who are selling phones, you know they don't do that.
No. I don't know anyone that's like, hey, we're going to pay you to make your life less expensive.
Yes.
Well, okay. Let's talk.
When we have their representative from Duke, Susan. Mm-hmm.
Sue Clement. Sue? I believe she's coming back on the show here in the next month, I believe.
I'm going to ask, is there any possibility that I could just wander around the house and turn off lights and get a Duke rebate? I'm guessing no.
Probably not.
That will lower my electric bill.
I do believe if you're running normal, you know, lights throughout the house and you get them all switched out to LED, I even think there's a rebate for that.
Ooh, so good idea.
They're offering rebates across the board to make your house more energy efficient. It's incredible.
That's a great thing. All right. We'll talk more with Chris Massey of C. Massey Plumbing and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. And those who tune in to Holly from Roofworks. I believe she's going to be on our second hour. That's coming up next. Actually, we've got some time in this hour, but that's coming up next hour. FM 92.9 AM 680 WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
Oh, this is us, Making Your Home Great on WPTF. Chris Massey of C. Massey Plumbing and Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier and Dave Alexander, radio station. We're talking about people's plumbing in their homes. We were sort of talking about the Duke Energy rebate plan.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything for Chris?
Swapping over water heaters to what, heat pump? Water heaters.
The hybrids.
Duke is offering, from what I hear, very large rebates.
Yeah.
To take your normal electric water heater and switch it over to something that's more of a hybrid, because that's going to pull a lot of power off of the usage.
Right.
It's going to drop the utility cost, which is exactly what Duke is trying to do. So
right.
Those are the programs that they're offering rebates. Now, I've had a lot of customers say, hey, if you guys encapsulate our crawl space, is that a Duke rebate? And I have to go through the process of explaining to customers that really nothing you do in the crawl space drops your utility usage.
Yeah.
That's your attic, right? In the winter, your issue is heat loss. All the heat in the house is rising up into the attic.
Yeah.
So you want thick insulation on the floor to help with heat retention. In the summer, the heat's not coming up from the crawl space. It's coming down from the 140-degree attic.
Yes, it is.
So Duke is smart enough to know that nothing you do in the crawl space is really going to make much of an impact on utility, so there are no rebates for crawl space insulation.
Yeah.
It is specifically for attic insulation. That's where it's going to make the biggest impact.
Is there any opportunity for Mr. Curtis to insulate this building and...
If Mr. Curtis called me today and asked me to come out here and insulate this building, we would knock it out.
That would be fine, except for a three-story building, and we couldn't. You know, we only have this one floor,
right.
So I'm not sure how much work we could really do. But I'm thinking, you know, in that direction, if somebody has a commercial building,
mm-hmm.
can that also qualify for the rebates?
If they are Duke customers, if the power bill is going to Duke, then yes, whether it's a residential structure or commercial structure,
right.
The focus is dropping usage. Now, all these rebates have a ceiling. They're offering a $700 rebate for blown-in insulation. Well, most jobs are $1,300, $1,400. There's half of the cost of the contract right there.
Yeah.
But a commercial building that's 28,000 square feet, a little bit bigger than a house, it's still going to be a $700 rebate. So the impact it's going to make is going to be a lot less than a commercial.
Ideally, you want to have a small house and make money on the deal.
You want to have a small house in a neighborhood full of mansions.
There you go.
Right. So you're what? So that you look out at mansions from your shack.
Your property value's through the roof.
Absolutely.
And it takes you 20 minutes to clean the house. Life doesn't get better than that, right?
I like that. Live simply so others may live.
That's right. Dave, I got a message for you.
Yeah, what's that?
My wife said she'll make sure and type the letters a little bit bigger for you next time.
She'll type it bigger?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And because I stumbled on so many things, could she please type it more slowly so that I can read it? It's the pace, really, that throws me completely off. But I looked at it quickly, and I saw nose bib, and that's not it.
That's not quite the same thing.
Well, an N and a capital H. No, they don't look anything alike. Yeah.
We need to know. So you thought we were going to talk about nose bibs for functionality and leaks?
Yeah.
I can see where that leap was.
Not a problem.
One of the other things we'll check too is lavatory faucets for leaks and corrosion.
Yep.
We also look for the corrosion piece on shutoff valves under your sink as well too.
Yep.
That's a tell sign that you've got some hard water or some water issues, which will lead to, deterioration of
right.
dishwashers, washing machines.
I mean, you literally
Brock can
tell
use you all
me,
about that.
Yeah, you can use me as that example. We've talked about it several times on the show before, but I had a plumbing issue in our house, and I had several plumbers come out, kids fresh out of high school that are working under their boss's plumbing license trying to answer questions that
yep.
they just didn't have enough experience to answer.
Yeah.
And I went uphill to people I trust, and they got me in touch with Chris, and Chris came out, and I explained the issue. All of our components were eroding. The shutoff valves were eroding. I had to replace both of them underneath the sink, the dishwasher, the washing machine. The chlorinator in my pool started having the rubber components on the inside
yep.
deteriorate and fall apart. So I was unaware of what was happening. And
right.
Chris came out and he goes, "Oh, I'm going to bring out a guy. And he's going to test your water, and I bet you this is the problem." And sure enough, they came out and tested it, and he was like, "Yep, you got a lot of acid in your water, which is
yeah.
what's eroding all this stuff."
Yeah.
So we had gone through $10,000 worth of appliances and shutoff valves and, the chlorinator in the pool before we realized there's a cause and effect here. Something
That's
is
right.
causing this.
Yeah.
This isn't just regular wear and tear. So they were able to figure it out. Of course, immediately were able to give us solutions to correct the problem. And it did. It fixed it. And he has been my plumber since and will be my plumber moving forward.
You have well water.
Yes.
And that's, Chris, is that where most of the problems with water quality occur?
Mainly. Yes,
yeah.
sir. It is. You get a lot of acid in the well water sometimes, like Brock had. You get iron.
Right.
And it all creates hardness in water, which, creates
yep.
corrosion, and it just tears stuff up.
And Johnston County, I can tell moment to moment, they, at a period of time, went through that annual issue where they needed to stop using chlorine, use something else for a while, and then switch back.
Mm.
And at one point, I could taste chlorine. And I might have had the process backwards, but essentially what they stopped using one thing and they went to chlorine, and oh my God, it was like drinking swimming pool water.
It is.
I'm thankful that there's no microorganisms in it, but yeah.
We install reverse osmosis systems under kitchen sinks too.
Yeah.
That helps with drinking quality of your drinking water better than Fiji water.
Yeah.
It's very good. It takes all that stuff out of your water and puts the nutrients and purities back in it that makes the water actually drinking good for you.
So wait. How is this installed? This is installed underneath the sink, and the water is fed into this, and then that feeds it into the faucet?
Right. There's a separate little faucet for your reverse osmosis system.
Really?
And it's usually a 4 or 5 stage cartridge system. It runs through this isolated for only under your kitchen sink.
How often do you have to replace the cartridges?
Usually service them once a year.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
So you replace five, when you say service, I assume replace or wash?
Replace.
Okay, so
yep.
you replace them once a year. There's 5 cartridges.
4 to 5, depending on which system we put in.
And it's perfect, clean drinking water.
Oh, yeah, it's very good. It's actually good for you. It helps. It puts all the nutrients and stuff back in water.
How many people are refusing to drink their well water, but they're going to filtered water or bottled water.
Bottled water,
and then what's the
plastic
and, doing for you?
Nothing. It's not helping you.
It's definitely not. That's interesting. Now, is that a very common thing that you install for homeowners? Is this like everyday type item you guys do a lot of?
We put three or four in a month usually.
Okay.
Your water at any time smells like sulfur, what is that chemical? I guess it's sulfur. It's the...
A lot of times when you get that sulfur smell, I tell folks, is it isolated to your cold water supply or your hot water supply?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times it's isolated to your hot water supply. If folks have a tank-type water heater, they have anode rods in them, which collects minerals and particles out of your water to help preserve the life of the tank of the water heater.
But you got to clean that, right?
Usually just replace
when
they go bad.
A rod down the middle of the hot water here.
Yes, sir.
There's no electricity to it. There's nothing complicated about it. It just drops down.
And collects. I forget what it's actually made of.
It
collects the minerals and particles out of the water to help preserve it. We don't replace them a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it just depends on the quality of your water. You know, the worse your water is, the faster it's going to deteriorate. A lot of times they last the life of the water heater.
Really?
Most of the time.
Okay. We're going to call you for water heaters.
Yep.
We're going to call you for inspections. We're going to call you in an emergency.
Yes, sir.
Will you come out?
We will. And we'll answer the phone at 8 o'clock on Saturday night if you call.
Wow. Well, that's a good thing.
That's a rare thing.
You don't have people in like Botswana answering your phones?
No, usually over the weekend you're usually probably going to get myself or my wife.
Oh, okay.
I feel for electricians and I feel for HVAC guys and I feel for plumbers because you guys field emergency calls.
Yeah,
they do. Right?
All right, listen, we've got to wrap up. We'll get your website on in just a little bit. We're going to continue making your home great in just a few moments after news. Making your home great continues on WPTF. We've got Chris Massey still in the studio. Hey, Chris, give me your website and contact information.
You can find us at cmasseyplumbing.com, 919-795-0546. So keep an eye on our website and keep an eye on Facebook and Instagram for some upcoming offers.
As soon as I get Instagram on my phone, I'm going to follow you guys.
Perfect.
Are you planning anything for TikTok?
In the future.
Not that glassy yet. Expression on his face.
I mean, that was the expression on my face.
Right?
I know nothing about any of these things.
All right.
Well, thank you guys for having me on here today.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. Yep. Take care of yourself. Holly Bowers of RoofWorks is here. You will be comforted to know that Jim from Frog Hop is on the line right now. Hang on, Jim. Just a moment. I got to ask, is Jim on your commercials now? Is that Jim?
No.
Jim's on the payroll.
Jim's on the payroll. No, he's not on the payroll. Let's get Holly's microphone on. Jim from Frog Hop, welcome to the radio program. How you doing, sir?
Welcome from Frog Hop.
The
frogs ribbit in unison when they hear Holly's voice, so... Hello, baddest kid on the block, Brock. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
So y'all are invited any day to sit on the lily pads out here with the frogs. I just wanted to let you know.
As long as there's good fishing, I'll be there.
You got it. There's bass all over the place.
Sold.
Okay.
So the question that I've got this week, Holly, you mentioned it. By the way, good afternoon, Your Majesty. I hope you've had a good week. And just to let y'all know, we had the competition that didn't do our roofs on the other street work several water leaks, and we've got all roof works on my street.
Wow.
Nah, water leak anywhere.
Ouch.
Wow.
So
these
that's
were
the competition that Holly's got in the immaculate job that they did on our houses,
Jim,
several years
was
ago.
All this work done recently? You're not complaining about the people two streets over who had the roof done 15 years ago.
No, they had it done. They had it done right after we had ours done and everything. And I said, they got the competition over there.
Wow.
They're going to be expecting trouble, and that's what happens. That's what you do when you don't do a good job like Holly did.
Incredible.
So the question that I've got, Your Majesty, is you had mentioned AI a couple of weeks ago. And Brock, you can do it on the work that you do. What do you think has enhanced or not enhanced your jobs concerning AI in the past? And also, how do you think AI will affect y'all's industries in the upcoming days and years and everything? Mm-hmm. And by the way, Holly is not AI. Holly is RI. Do you know what do you know what RI stands
What's
for?
What's that?
Real intelligence. That's Holly over there. We're all so proud of you, Holly, and everything that you've accomplished at Roofworks, and thank goodness you did our roofs and everything. And I'll let you go, and you all have a good good week and a good Labor Day weekend next weekend, okay?
Thank you, sir. You too.
Thank you, Your Majesty, for the input. I'm looking forward to it. And by the way, Dave,
yes.
You might want to mention that
yes.
that this is redone at 6 o'clock every Saturday evening. From 6 to 8, and I don't know if people know it or not. So because
I
listen
that.
To it each evening.
You just
evening
taught
from
Dave
six,
something.
From
I didn't
six
know
to
this.
Eight, so.
6 to 8 every Saturday.
So they replay the show from
yeah.
6 to 8.
Yeah, is from it, 6 to 8. So we get to hear you. I get to hear Holly twice today. So I
that's
mean, I'm
great.
In heaven.
That's got to be a thrill and a half.
But thank you, and y'all have a safe weekend. Don't make me worry about you. Okay.
Thank you.
Right.
You too.
Okay,
thank you,
bye.
Jim.
Now, how are you guys using AI?
We're not really. I mean, AI is one of those. I mean, I don't trust it very much. So that's just me personally. I think that there's
that's our age is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I think there's maybe some good things about it, but at the end of the day, paper and pen.
Right.
That's you really have to trust and verify, because there's a lot of fake stuff out there, a lot, and that's the problem with it, is you're dependent upon a computer versus
yeah.
a real person.
I could see it for marketing. Like we've dabbled around and typing in you can go to an AI and type in something like a cartoon cockroach in a crawl space.
Yeah.
And it'll print you up a photo of a cartoon cockroach in a crawl space.
Oh,
and
yeah.
you can use that to market. Hey,
yeah.
we'll make your crawl space. So those are the things that I think are really intriguing and interesting, can help with marketing. But our jobs
right.
are inspections. We yes. have to go out to the property and look at the roof, look at the crawl space, look at the insulation. We have to manually take measurements. Then we work up estimates. And I'm not really sure what kind of AI program that would exist that would assist us with that, because we still have to be there. We still have to take the measurements. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We might use something like AI in the future, but kind of like Holly, we're skeptical about how far you really want to try to incorporate that. I work with some large companies,
yeah.
and one of those very large companies mm-hmm. has an AI system that runs their back office that books and schedules appointments. Well, we've already run into one hiccup.
Yeah.
We sent a homeowner of ours to them and said, we need you guys to go ahead and schedule this appointment. They need this type of, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. So they need this type of work done. Please book them and let us know when it's been scheduled. We just want to make sure that our customers are taken care of. We got
right.
a response email back that said it's been scheduled. No problem. Well, our customer reached back 2 days later and was like, hey, no one ever called me. And I said, well, what are you talking about? We got a confirmation email that they scheduled it. So we contacted the bigger company and said, what's going on? The email was sent by Nathan. And they go, oh, that's our AI program. Our AI program is Nathan. Yeah, it's not supposed to schedule it and send an email until they confirm. You know, those are bugs we're trying to work through our system with. So it's not been perfected
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I said it's just there's too many holes right now. I think there's tools from AI maybe to help run through spreadsheets
right.
and make things a little bit easier, but you still always have to trust and verify. It's the same thing with the APIs on the back end. You're trying to connect all these software platforms together.
Yeah.
They make mistakes, and you just can't trust it. And I think if you use AI for everything, it's a form of laziness, I think, too. There's things there to help you, but mm-hmm. there's always, like you said, we have to go out on site. We've got to get in your house. We need to see that property.
Right.
We got to see the roof. We can't just give you an assessment blindfolded like that. It's not, you're not doing your customer a good service by throwing them a price and you haven't even been out there.
Yeah, that's real weird. Hey, my crawl space has moisture and humidity, $12,752. What? You haven't even seen it yet. Yeah, no, we're good. You it's just okay. Trust me.
Yeah, and we have a good tool on our website where you can get a good price range by putting it in there, but obviously it's asking you for the pitch factor.
Exactly.
Some homeowners don't even know what a pitch factor is, mm-hmm. and that's why it's there, but we always send our team out to get you a true, accurate estimate.
You don't send a 17-year-old out with goggles, right? AI goggles, and he just scans the area?
I mean, and we use drones, but only for measurement purposes.
Right,
that's
right.
It. And we also use them if we want to go back when the job is complete to get good pictures from a visual standpoint. But we do not use those for inspections. And in order for us to sign off on something to say it's good, we've got to get up there and check everything.
Yeah, well, the drones are great, but if there's wind damage, you know that by lifting, you reach down with your hand and you touch the shingle and lift it up. Oh, it's disconnected. There's wind damage. And can't do that with a drone.
And also what you can't do with a drone is you can't feel that surface. If that surface is rotten and there's some moisture issues going on or it's soft, you can't detect that from a drone. You got to get up there. You have to. It's our trade. Like Brock said, if you don't send someone out to trust and verify, you're just not doing them a good service.
I saw a machine. This was a few years ago. And it was all computer controlled. And it was a series of robots. And they were laying brick. Actually, cinder blocks.
Okay.
They did it in minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They built a building in minutes. Now, the setup for it was unbelievable. I mean, you'd have to move in this. You'd have to move in four robots.
A lot of equipment.
A lot of equipment to do it. Someday, maybe.
Yeah.
That will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another problem with AI, I mean, I think there's a much deeper problem with AI. And it's, I mean, there's been a lot of really horror stories that have come out, but I don't think that the kids are safe with AI now.
No, they're not.
At all. I think AI is really going to put them in some really dangerous situations. It's already proved itself, and I think people need to be very, very careful of AI.
Right. Well, we know one thing. Jim from Frog Hop is not AI because Grok and all the other AI programs, at their most extreme, could not make him up.
No.
It's just, we know it's him. So thank you, Jim, for the first call. We're back in just a moment. 919-860-9783 is our number for questions for Holly or for Brock on FM 92.9 AM 680 WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
Making Your Home Great on WPTF. Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier is here. Also, Holly Bowers of Roofworks. And we're talking about the terrible, terrible possibilities of AI.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe that the manufacturers of shingles will benefit from computer technology to make better shingles?
Yeah, I mean, that's already proven. I mean, they're definitely in the pipeline coming through, making them so they can hold up to the impact of hail, especially.
Right.
So technology as a whole has definitely helped our industry. But like I said, there's always going to be good and bad with everything. But I think there's a lot more cons with AI right now, and I just think that it's not safe.
All right. Now, you tend to talk about CertainTeed as a shingle company. I'm sure it's more, they consider it a roofing company. Why them?
Jeez, we can talk about this pretty much the rest of this show. But
no, it's not. Because they didn't pay us anything.
Yes, I mean, CertainTeed is definitely proven to be the better shingle. CertainTeed is just a great, great company. They're local. Why would we not support our local economy? And when it comes to warranties, hands down, they're the best. And it's people, how you handle a problem is what matters. So you can give someone a warranty, but if you're not standing behind it, it doesn't mean anything. And CertainTeed is just hands down the best company to work with when it comes with that.
And they're quite heavy.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely the heaviest architectural shingle on the market. Now, there's more products within CertainTeed that the shingle gets heavier if you do an upgraded product, but just your basic architectural shingle, CertainTeed is, they do have the best one.
Yeah, most roofing manufacturers have levels to their quality of shingles.
Right.
And, you know, from most manufacturers, some don't offer it anymore, but a lot of manufacturers have a three-tab shingle. But then they have an upgraded 30-year shingle, and then they've got an upgrade to that. CertainTeed, for me, it's just one word, quality. It's always been a very, very quality product. It's made well. It's heavy.
Yeah.
It lasts longer than most of the competition, and it just gets better and better. What's their high-end? What's CertainTeed's high-end shingle?
So Grand Manor is like the highest end, and then they have the Presidential TL, which is a triple laminated shingle. They've got quite a few upgraded shingles, but Grand Manor is like the Mercedes of their shingle line.
It's what you would expect to see on a manor.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Grand Manor sounds like a
hotel.
Housing development in North Raleigh is what I was thinking, but you know,
so
it's
the
Grand Manor.
Yeah, and the Grand Manor is more to look like, you know, slate, and then the Presidential TL, it looks like wood shake. It's got more of that type of design to make your house look like wood. So
how
it's really
thick is
from
that?
The Presidential TL, it's very, very thick. It's triple laminated, so they have a regular Presidential shingle, but then the upgrades to the TL, which is even thicker than your...
So it actually looks like a shake.
Oh, yeah. And the TL is the way to go because it gives you more depth because it is a thicker shingle.
Now, if I do not have a manor house and I only have the Alexander house and we have to put shingles up, can you find me something that fits my budget?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got your basic Landmark, and then you have Landmark Pro. They got Landmark Premium. There's plenty of different options. Really, what matters is your budget and what you can afford. So what we want to do is help you get yourself in the best possible roof system based on what you can actually afford.
If you only had a very limited number of choices, you could get by without a showroom. You could just have a desk with three different types of shingles on it. Or, as some roofers do, a book with six on one side and six on the other. You don't have that. You have a full showroom.
Yeah, I mean, roofs are so expensive nowadays that you definitely want to see what your options are, because sometimes just upgrading $1,000 extra to get 20 more years of life out of that roof, if nobody's giving you that option, you didn't even know that you had that there. So that's why you just need to have somewhere to go where you can look at all the different styles, and the look matters too.
Right.
It does. I mean, you're not limited and pigeonholed just to go with an architectural black shingle. And a lot of times that's the only thing you're seeing because that's the only thing they're introducing you to. But you have tons more options than that. And roofing can be a lot cooler and a lot more fun of a project if you actually had somewhere to go where you could look at all these different styles.
It's always the same color, too. The majority of these, weather wood, I think is the most common color that's used out there. And there's so many different options. Don't be just like the neighbor, all right? You want your house to stand out a little bit. And I don't mean stand out a lot. Don't paint it pink or neon yellow or anything. But a really unique roofing shingle in an ocean of weatherwood stands out like a sore thumb. It makes you stand out from the rest.
As long as your HOA is cool with that.
HOA does have an opinion. Yes,
yeah,
they will.
And I promise you that the roof colors change with your siding color. It's very important to understand that what color your siding is, it's going to depend on what that roof looks like going up. So you can ride around town and go look at another house with a weatherwood shingle, but if they've got tan siding and you have, you know, green siding, it's going to look different. So take that into account.
Apparently, the builder who did my neighborhood, there's only 16, 17 houses, they bought everything in bulk. There's not a single house that stands out. Everybody's got agreeable gray inside.
Yep.
Everybody's got black downspouts and black gutters.
Right.
It's the whole shebang. I can't change it. I just can't. HOA rules say it. But you can fit within the HOA rules and still upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely can. And that's a big thing is check with the HOA, figure out what you can and can't do, because that's very, very important. You don't want to move forward with this project and then have the HOA come back after the fact and say that you broke the rules and you got to change it. That's not going to be good.
Well, I have dealt with that with homeowners before because we'll put in a solar, well, back, this is several years ago. It hadn't happened recently. But, yeah, we'll put in a solar attic fan.
Yeah.
And in an HOA neighborhood that needs to be located on the back of the house. They don't want it visible from the street. But every once in a while, I run into a homeowner that's like, I don't care what the HOA has to say. This is my property, and I'm going to put it right there. And okay.
And I'm a sovereign citizen.
That's right.
And I don't pay taxes.
So we said, okay, and we'll put it up there. And sure enough, HOA is knocking on the door within a few days. And about a month later, we're coming back out to move it again. So, yeah, you want to include the HOA in the decision.
Right.
At least inform them and make sure they're okay with it.
Yeah, and really the HOA is there to protect the community, to make it, keep it nice looking so your values stay up.
Theoretically,
that's really the purpose of them, if it's ran properly, is to make sure that someone's not coming in and painting their house pink with an orange roof and makes everything stand out.
Yep. You're absolutely right. And put that boat away. That's a big thing in our neighborhood. Put that boat away. Put it in the back of a lot. It's the best you can do. Do it. Or put it in the garage. The other thing about... I mean, usually the HOA wants a match of color. There's nothing so intricate about the HOA rules that they go to the point of saying, no, you must have three tab or you must have an upgraded architectural, at least in my neighborhood.
Most HOAs give you, three options? Yeah. Let's say these are the three approved shingle colors.
Okay.
When it comes to the solar attic fans, those are black, so that pretty simple, especially being mounted up on the roof. But yeah, normally they'll give you a few options. You can paint your house these three colors.
Sure.
You can have this type of siding, these three colors, this kind of roof, these three colors. But every HOA is different. A lot of them are a lot easier to deal with, and some of them are quite difficult.
Now, if you need to install that solar attic fan, who else do we need to call?
Well, it'll be Roofworks.
It'll be Roofworks. Okay.
Yeah. They definitely install our fans. We had a customer this week that was like, why? Why do you bring out a roofing company? I said, look, I love my guys. My guys are all really talented insulation guys, but I don't trust them to put a hole in the roof. I don't want you calling me a week from now saying that you got wet insulation and a wet spot on the ceiling.
And may I just say, nobody ever fell down from a crawl space.
No.
I mean, once they're on the ground, they are safe as a kitten.
You trip in a crawl space, you might have a little scrape. You trip on a roof, it's a little different.
Yeah. It's a different thing.
Same reason why we're not plumbers.
All right. This is Making Your Home Great. FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF.
This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF FM 92.9, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Remember, if you missed any of the portions of today's show, we archive all of our shows as podcasts available wherever you get your podcasts and on demand always at WPTF.com. Now back to our host, Dave Alexander.
For multiple reasons, you should not trust a door knocker. Holly Bowers, we keep this brief for as long as you want. Holly Bowers is here from Roofworks, Brock Emmons of Triangle, Radiant Barrier. If somebody knocks on your door and says, I just noticed that you have hail damage, how reliable is that sort of statement?
I think it depends on how much money they want to make is really what it comes down to.
How much they want to make?
Yeah, I mean, we run into it all the time. I mean, they get up there and they scare people to think that they've got all these problems and they really don't have it. Someone actually showed up to Will's house last year and told him that we had just put the roof on and they gave this whole inspection and left it at his door saying that he needs all this work done. And we're like, dude, he owns a roofing company and we just put the roof on, like literally. And nothing that they said was true. It was all a lie. Every single item on that list was a lie.
Wow.
But that just goes to show you they'll do anything. And someone that doesn't know roofing they're going to get scared and freaked out and
right.
think that they're being honest about it when they're absolutely not. And it's just unnecessary is what it is.
There have been situations, they're rare, but I bet they exist, where somebody gets your tracking number, your information on your checks, and the next thing you know, they've started to drain your account.
Oh yeah, then that absolutely happens. It happens.
You need to make sure that people have the regular liability and the roof liability. Right?
You do. You just make sure they're licensed, they're fully insured, and absolutely make sure that you can trust them, because there's a lot of people that are not to be trusted, just like you said, the bank accounts.
Yeah.
I mean, they are doing any and everything to make money. When people get in desperate situations, people will do anything to make money. They don't care who they're going to hurt, and that's the truth.
Yeah, I don't even think these guys are desperate. I don't think these people are desperate. I think that's their chosen career, which is fraud.
Correct.
There's a lot of money to be made in fraud, believe it or not. These folks have not ever put up a roof.
It's what I call dirty money is what it is.
It is dirty
money. It's dirty money.
Yep. And yet there are door knockers, and it'll happen toward the coast this week.
Yeah.
It will.
I'm sure they're down there.
Say, whoa, yeah, you've got all sorts of trouble. I can see it from here. I see it from the road. I was just driving by. I was doing your neighbors. Yeah, sure you were. And I could see it from the road.
Yeah.
I don't think that I heard about any hail with this last storm, but there was a lot of water.
A lot of wind.
There's a lot. I mean, really, we've had a lot of rain the past couple of weeks. We've had a lot of leaks. I mean, we're constantly, our team, I always praise our team because they work so hard to get to these people to make sure that we can get this water out of this house, out of all these houses and properties.
Right.
But we've just had a lot of rain this summer.
Now, there are people who are emergency services companies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I used to work for one. And we would get a call from the insurance company, and we'd go out and we'd take a look at it. If it was a roof, it was a roof. We hired a roofing company. I mean, the homeowner never knew that. But you will respond if there's a leak in a home.
Oh, yeah. We're absolutely not going to put anybody on the roof in the middle of the night,
right?
In the middle of a bad storm and risk of their lives. But yes, we will absolutely, as soon as it clears up, we're going to get our team out there, do an assessment, figure out what's going on, and try to get that leak taken care of for you.
And if you need to tarp, will you tarp?
We will tarp, yes.
Okay. I mean, that's...
We're here to help.
Like to throw in successfully tarp.
You know what? We were just talking about that last week, me and Darlene were.
Because what's that?
I swear,
I've
seen tarps with brick.
Oh, yeah.
They just go up there with bricks and put them on the corners of the tarp. There's a way to tarp a roof.
Yeah, and here's the scam on tarping, okay?
Please.
Someone comes out and they tarp the roof, and they're puncturing holes through a ton of shingles.
Yeah.
Guess what happens? You got a much bigger repair than you should have had because they didn't put that tarp on correctly.
Yep.
It happens all the time. We like to use Ice and Water Shield because it minimizes the amount of work that we have to do and charge the homeowner for to go back and do a proper permanent repair. But people tarping, they're making money tarping. What they're also doing is damaging a much bigger area that shouldn't have been damaged because they're either doing it intentionally or they don't know how to tarp properly.
Yeah, to put things into perspective, let's say you've got a little bit of wind damage and you need to replace, I don't know, two or three runs of shingles, not very much. And then Jim shows up and says, hey, let me tarp your roof for you. He's doing it under the premise he's assuming you were also going to let him repair the roof.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. But he's going to go up there and put in a tarp, and the tarp is going to be 10 times or 5 times larger than the area that needs to be replaced.
Yeah.
And now when it's time to fix that portion, you're no longer replacing several runs. You're replacing a square
or
two squares of your roof.
The whole back side of the house or front side of the roof. Yeah, and that's what happens. If they go tarp the whole back side, you're probably going to have to replace the whole back side. And that's just unnecessary. They're charging you too much. There's too much work being done, and that didn't need to be done.
And because they're hammering it down?
Yeah, they're just putting it on.
We'll put a nail right through the shingle to hold the tarp up there. Because, again, they're assuming, well, we'll just replace all these shingles. You're bringing us back.
Yeah.
It's like, well, hold on. I just had a little repair that I wanted done. I don't need to re-roof the whole section of the house because you put a 30-foot tarp up there. Well, that's where we are now. You allowed them up on your roof. You allowed them to tarp it. You didn't get a copy of their insurance. You didn't verify they were local. Just think things through before you let anybody into the house.
And the other trick to that is, guess what? They're turning in a supplement for a tarp and getting paid from the insurance company. They know that. They know what they're doing. And that's just more money you're having to pay out for something that may not have been necessary. Mm-hmm.
You might as well let me do the work because you're going to have to pay me for the tarp anyway.
Yeah.
So since you got to pay me for the tarp, then how about you just let me go ahead and do the repair?
Well, there's a... You know, I've forgotten which scientist came up with it, the law of inertia and forward motion. Newton came up with it. Also invented the fig. But the whole point is that once you've got the motion toward we're going to fix your roof, they're not even going to say, now, do you want me to fix your roof?
Right.
They're not saying that at all. They're saying, okay, now we can fit you in next week because we've already tarped it. We can fit you in to do all the repairs.
Yeah, and there's some, I mean, for us, if we're really busy and there's a lot of people to get to and we get out there and it's a bigger leak than we have time or the homeowner has to approve it or HOA has to approve it, we do have to do a temp repair because our initial concern is to stop that water from getting in the house any further, creating any more damage.
Right.
If we can't do a permanent repair that same trip. So we have to use it for that circumstance and then reschedule once it gets approved and get it back on schedule. But the only time we're doing it is if we cannot do a permanent repair on that same trip. Mm. We try to minimize those trips, but it is not always the case. I mean, if you're having to reflash a whole wall or reflash a whole chimney, those are really big repairs. A lot of those are going to take half to full days. And we need to give everybody time, give the homeowner time to adjust how much that's going to cost and make sure they're okay with that before we, you know, go back and
see what I heard right there. Well, we call them storm chasers, right? After these big hailstorms, windstorms come in, these companies come in from out of town. These companies, what separates, just one of many things that separates RoofWorks, what she just got done saying, these companies will come in and they'll try to tarp 60, 70, 80 houses in a day.
Wow.
Not with any intention to make the repair that day. They are specifically going house to house saying, if you have a leak, let us tarp it. So at the end of the day, they've got 70 homes that they've thrown tarps up that they're going to get paid for.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay, these guys are not focused on let's tarp as many as we can. It's how do we fix this problem while we're here?
Right.
So you don't have a tarp on your roof for 3 weeks till we get back to you.
Yeah, and the other thing is we don't like tarping because tarps are more expensive. We don't want to charge the homeowner to have to put a tarp up if we can just do a better watertight temporary repair with some sealant or some ice and water shield. Right. That minimizes the cost for everybody. So we hardly ever do tarps unless we absolutely have to because we know how expensive they are and we don't want to charge the homeowner for that tarp.
Mm-hmm. What is water shield?
It's a leak barrier membrane that we put down, especially when we do replacements around any penetrations, skylights, valleys. It's just an extra layer of protection.
Okay.
But it's also very good when you're trying to do a temp repair to stop a leak. That way you're not having to put a tarp on and create more damage than is necessary. So it's just, it works very well for us and it works well for the homeowner because, again, we don't want the homeowner to have to pay a lot of money for this stuff. We want to get it done. Keep that water out.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing because if we don't get that water stopped, it's going to cause more interior damage, which in turn, what do you have? You've got sheetrock, paint, and then you're looking at another $1,000. Right. So all we want to do is help the homeowner stop that leak.
Yeah.
Whatever
you think
it
that
takes,
spot's bad today, wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, and whatever it takes at the most effective, minimal cost to the homeowner, that's what our intentions are.
That's good because
it's the right intention.
As I explained in the last program with Chris Massey, you know, there are millions of homes around here. Practically all of them have roofs. There's enough business for RoofWorks. Being legitimate, you don't have to go looking, you know, go to the coast right now and start knocking on doors. because you're a quality company.
Yeah, I mean, we just care. We just want to do the right thing. We don't want to overcharge. We don't want to throw supplements out there. That's why we don't like the insurance game. We're not a part of that because it's highly, highly inflated. These roofs that are being claimed cost a lot more than just your everyday roofs. If you were just to call us and want a roof replacement, if you do it like that versus filing a claim, it's going to be much cheaper. Okay. Why do you think all these companies went to Stormwork? Because they're making a lot more money.
That's right.
Lot more money. They're not doing it for a good intention. They're doing it to get rich.
Yeah.
And that's not the right reason.
All right. Now, every time I ask the next question of Holly Bowers, she shakes her head and she says, oh, everything. And well, that's an inappropriate answer, Holly. Here's the thing. I'm going to ask you about improperly installed roofs. Tell me some horror stories coming up in just a little bit on Making Your Home Great with Holly Bowers of Roofworks, Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier, FM 92.9, AM 680, WPTF.
Thank you for listening to Making Your Home Great. If you have a question for any of our experts on the show today, call us at 919-860-9783. Now, back to Dave.
With Holly Bowers from Roofworks on WPTF. Now, it's a challenge for you. You've got to isolate individual things. How many ways are there to goof up a roof?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pretty easy to do, honestly. It is. I mean, we've seen it. We're not perfect. There's no perfect company out there. There's not. If you mess it up, you need to fix it and make it right. That's the way it goes.
Yes.
The problem is there's a lot of companies that don't stand behind it, and then they just leave that customer out there dangling where that customer has to turn around and call somebody else because they didn't follow through. So that's where we come in. We do a ton of work on that side of it, and unfortunately, homeowners having to pay twice, sometimes three times, for jobs that weren't done correctly because they had problems, made a phone call, nobody's answering, nobody's responding, and they're frustrated, and they need to get with a company that's actually going to answer them and take care of them.
Are there poorly designed roofs?
There are. Like Brock and I, we were all just talking about before he left. I mean, the biggest thing is like a lot of the stuff that you run into, like he was talking about, dead valleys, these transition areas, when you have additions being built on homes that the pitches just don't work, and it just makes it highly impossible to rectify that situation, and that's just a design flaw. There's some houses that just aren't designed the best way, and that leaves really vulnerable areas open for problems down the road.
If you're building a house near tall pine trees, you should take the valleys into account, right?
Yeah. I mean, anytime you got pine trees over the house, you're going to have roof debris. So if you know that's going to be a problem, you just need to get set up with a maintenance plan and keep that stuff off the roof. Keep it off the roof, keep it out of the gutters, and just plan ahead because that's going to be a problem down the road if you don't.
Well, I don't have a problem with that on my house in the in the wooded forest of North Carolina, because I just go ahead with a blower and I stand on the ground and I blow it.
Yeah, don't do that.
Why not?
Because you're blowing upwards, which in turn you could possibly break the seal on the shingles. Which, that's going to cause a lot of problems. You don't want to do that. Don't ever blow upwards.
And don't pay somebody to do that.
No, they should always be blowing down.
Blowing down. Yep. The same with any sort of cleaning that somebody proposes to do.
Oh, with that gutter cleaning?
Yeah, a gutter cleaner, but we're going to clean those little drip marks on your roof.
Oh, yeah.
A power washer from the ground is a bad idea?
It's a really bad idea. And really, power washing the roof anyways, especially if your roof is older, when you're putting that much pressure from a power washer onto that asphalt, on those shingles, you're actually breaking that asphalt down. So it's going to make those shingles not last as long. A lot of people don't realize that. And if you're not using the right products and not doing it properly, if you're trying to get the algae off the roof, that's most of the time the reason why people want to clean their roofs. But a lot of times it has a counter effect. The algae comes back faster, and it's actually worse. So you're creating a worse problem than you had from the get-go.
Is there anything that RoofWorks can do?
Well, we don't like cleaning shingle roofs, especially for that reason, because we know potentially we're setting you up for massive failure. That's why we always tell them, don't do it. We don't recommend it. It's not a good idea.
Yeah.
This is really what's going to happen. So buyer beware. That's why we feel that way, because we know it's going to come back and be a problem later.
Is algae on the roof going to get worse? And down the road, will that affect my roof and its
as
utility?
Far as cleaning or just
no, just
filming?
The utility.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times you're seeing algae is because of the way that the sun facing is hitting the roof. So it's going to be in areas that you got more shadow, less sunlight, and it just traps moisture there, which creates the algae. So the big thing is when you're doing a replacement, think about that, because if you have a house that, you know, you're having an algae problem, make sure that you get a shingle that's got a good algae-resistant warranty, because now they're made better, so they've got a lot more copper fleck in them. You can also put a zinc on the ridgeline, which is zinc. If you do zinc strips on the ridge, that can help break that algae down. So there's some other options that you have before you go clean that roof.
And will that show? Will it be obvious I put zinc on my ridge?
No, not so much. I mean, that will blend in, but it's going to be much better and more effective than you paying someone to wash that roof.
Right.
Now, if you have a tile roof, slate roof, metal roof, flat roofs, you can wash those. That's great. You need to wash those to keep up with them. But shingle roofs are the ones that are much more vulnerable to any kind of power washing.
It's funny. I really didn't plan to ask about zinc on my ridge today.
Yeah. So that's definitely a good thing that you can do. You can put zinc up there and that'll help you. And it just helps kill the algae.
That's excellent. The broad, let's put it this way. There are some people who think it is so simple that it's just as easy as interior painting, which everybody thinks they can do, and not everybody does well.
I was going to say that's
right.
Hard too.
Exactly. Putting a roof on, there are characters doing it incorrectly. You talked about one group that walked away from a job, or they finished a job, and every single shingle was upside down.
Yeah, I mean, luckily that was a small little roof that they did that on, but it just goes to show. I mean, we've had to do whole house replacements for, you know, coming behind other companies because nothing was done right. The shingles were nailed wrong. All the details were wrong. And at that point, when you're looking at a customer saying, here's all the things that need to be rectified. Yeah. This is what a repair is going to cost you. It just economically makes more sense to do a replacement. Get it right, then you don't have to worry about it again.
Once installed, is it ever possible to put that shingle back on? I mean, remove it?
Oh, no. That's, yeah. Once
it's gone.
You need to replace that shingle because they've got the nail holes in it, so they're ruined. So you always want to put new shingles on, even when you're doing a repair.
Yeah.
You don't want to reuse those shingles.
And yet there's a nail line on the shingle. Now, admittedly, I've never looked at a shingle, but I don't think it has the words nail line.
No, but there's
on it.
Yeah, I think OC has a good product that actually has it really, really specific. But yeah, you have to follow the pattern. You can't rack it. You got to stair step it. I mean, there's so many different things. And depending on what type of shingle or product you're putting on there, everything has its own way of doing it correctly. You have to know how that goes.
And underlayment is a big deal.
It is, yeah. I mean, for warranties, it is. It's absolutely critical. You have to have it, and all that stuff is stated in those warranties.
Also, roof ventilation, which is why we talked with Brock about the solar attic fans.
You have to have it. You got to sign off on that, check that box in order to register that warranty with the manufacturer. There's a reason why they need all these things mandatory, because they know what works and what doesn't work. So they're not going to stand behind a roof system that's not done per their standards, because it's test and proven that this is going to work or it's not going to work.
Brock talks to us a bit about crawling in or going to an attic and discovering it's 120 degrees. The roof deck's got to be unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about how hot it is up there. That's the one thing. You know, we get calls sometimes and we're doing roof replacements, and they're like, they're sitting outside. They've been sitting around for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And we try to explain to homeowners, it's very important that they understand that they need to take a break. We start them earlier in the summer months, and if they get hot and they need to sit down and take a break for a minute, it's okay. They're not going to damage anything. They're just resting up.
Yes.
Because you do have to take into account how hard that job is in the middle of a summer. It's hard already, but when it's 100 degrees outside, that roof is like 500 degrees.
Yeah.
So these guys are up there, and they are working so hard, and they need to take a break for a minute. So it's okay if they're sitting under the tree in your front yard.
Yes.
Don't freak out. They need a break. It's much more important for them and their safety to take their time than them get up there and someone passes out and falls off the roof and gets killed.
That's a bad thing.
Yeah. And
it's
some always. I mean, and some people don't really understand. They'll call and they'll make comments, but you just have to reassure them. This is for your safety too as a homeowner. You don't want anything to happen to anyone on your house.
Right.
We're not going to rush this. This is a job that can't be rushed.
Right.
We care about these guys. We care about doing a good roof job. So just take them some water, because really that would go a long ways.
Sure. And folks, RoofWorks offers these guys the correct footwear and the correct equipment for everything they do.
Yeah, and that's cool, because we have freeze pops. I mean, even our mailman comes in the office, because they get hot driving that mail truck around. And so Julie will always get him some freeze pops or her.
Very cool.
Help them out.
All right. How do we contact you?
All right. You can call us at 919-852-2660. Or visit us on the web at roofwerks.com.
Thank you, Holly. This is Making Your Home Great. Have a great week.